What is truth? And why isn't anyone interested in learning the truth anymore? Hello, this is Karen.
And this is Kevin.
And this is Right From Us. What is the definition of truth? Well, according to Merriam-Webster, the truth is the body of real things, events, and facts. Actuality. Facts. That means what actually happened. It's not according to my truth. It's not according to your truth. It's not according to a party's truth. It's the facts. And everybody, I feel like, has forgotten what that word means.
Well, also, I think that nobody wants to wait for the facts. You know, we see a video or something of part of an event from one perspective or one angle, and everybody jumps to conclusions without waiting for the actual facts of the event to come out.
It's like emotions fuel people. That's how they run. That's their fuel from day to day, is how they feel about something, what their perception of something is. No one takes the time to actually learn the truth behind an event before they go off on the deep end and start rioting and burning things down and championing people that shouldn't be, championing criminals, you know, and then leaving the innocents behind and forgotten and not even talked about. And I'm sick of it. I am sick of it. I think we need to get back to the truth. I'm tired of people being prosecuted before even given a chance to give you the context behind something. It's just like all these videos that come out from these Black Lives Matter people, which, let's just be honest, they're not even protests, they're rioters. They're domestic terrorists. Now, I don't know if Black Lives Matter as a group can be classified as a domestic terrorist. I think that the group that uses their name to protest and riot, I think they use that as an excuse to go out and do things.
Yeah, I think BLM has been infiltrated by these Antifa people,
which can only be classified as a domestic terrorist. I mean, how else can you possibly classify them? What do they want? Their sole objective is violence, burning things down, looting. I mean, what is the agenda here?
Well, we just watched this video of this guy on Twitter, a BLM guy, supposedly, saying that they wanted to overthrow the government. You know, it's like, then what?
They want to rip President Trump out of the White House. Okay, I get being angry with Donald Trump. I get that, you know, orange man bad. Okay, if that's how you feel, that's how you feel. I get that. Okay, so what is your objective? Okay, got it. So he's bad and you want him out of the White House. Then what? What's your plan? What kind of America do you want to see? No one ever says anything about that. And the Democrats never talk about what they want. It's all about how bad we are and how a terrible society that we live in. And again, orange man bad. They never come up with a plan. Okay, I get it. Name calling aside, we're all racist, yada, yada, yada. Okay, got it. Now what? What do you want? What is the objective? They can never tell you. They just want chaos.
Yeah, the left has really just become the anti Trump party, basically. Do they have any other platform besides that? I mean
Democrats are united in their hatred for Trump. The Republicans are united in their love for America. I mean, to me, that says it all. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Democrats, any Democrats out there listening, what is it that you want for this country that it's not already being provided? You see what I mean? I mean, other than free stuff, and let's be honest, again, the truth of that matter is, you can't get free stuff. Someone has to pay for it. Okay? So you may want free stuff. I want free stuff. I would love to be able to just sit at home and get paid to do nothing. Who's going to pay that bill? Someone has to pay it. Who do you propose gives you that money? We can't print it. I don't understand why these cities that are being burned to the ground and have had violence for 3 months, over 3 months, I don't understand why the media is not talking about it. I don't understand why something is not being done about it. I don't understand why everybody is just turning a blind eye to this and just allowing these people to act like animals. I think that situations like this, I don't think it's about any one thing or any one cause. I think that a group of people, these domestic terrorists, like to latch on to any reason whatsoever to act like an animal and to steal and get free stuff.
Right. Well, what are they accomplishing? I mean, they're really not accomplishing anything except making people that are against them more against them. If you think about it, I mean, if they say they're protesting, I guess maybe the point of a protest would be to try to encourage others to join your cause. But really, if you think about it, they are really just encouraging people to more and more people to be against them and stand up against them. You know, we got people going out there and defending businesses with their weapons now, you know, to try to get these rioters, you know, keep them away from the businesses.
Yeah, because the police aren't going to help them. They don't want the police. I mean, why would the police go out there and risk their lives? Again, for what? What do you want? Okay, we get rid of the police, and then what? So you want more chaos? You want a lawless country? That makes no sense to me. I don't understand what the objective is. I mean, when they finally caught up with this Chicago activist, she tells the person interviewing her, get over it. We're burning these places down. Get over it. They're insured. They've got money. They can rebuild. So basically, in essence, she's saying, you know, just let us do what we want. Let us act like animals. What is your problem with us acting like animals? That's basically what she's saying. It makes no sense to me. And then if you don't align yourself with their cause, their beliefs, their riots, if you don't give them an excuse to act like an animal, they get annoyed with you. They want to kill you. They want to get you out of the way. If you don't raise your fist or kneel in front of them, or, you know, if you don't come out of your house when they march down your residential street with megaphones and say, come out of your house, we want your house. Yes, you have the right to do all this stuff, I suppose. You're not peacefully protesting. There's no question about that. But why isn't anybody, like, standing up to these people? Why are we letting it continue? Are we afraid? I mean, what do we care if we offend anybody? It's the right thing to do to stop these terrorists from terrorizing us, the people. I just don't get it. Maybe I'm missing something.
Well, they're peaceful protests, though, Karen. It's peaceful.
Yeah, that's
mostly mostly peaceful. I mean, there's a few buildings.
They're
being
mostly
burned down.
Unarmed.
Mostly, yeah, mostly.
I heard that the other day too.
Mostly unarmed.
It's madness.
That term right there, mostly peaceful. I mean, if it's mostly peaceful, that means it's not entirely peaceful. So it's not peaceful, in other words. So it's like contradicting itself.
And the only time the left has ever acknowledged what is happening is like Kamala, whatever the hell you say your name.
It's Kamala.
Kamala, whatever. You know, her saying, you know, get used to it. The riots are going to continue. They're going to continue after the election, and they should. Okay. Why? Because you want the chaos? Because you figure that the more chaotic this country is, the better chance you have of controlling it and becoming the leader? Because you're going to come in, you're going to swoop in and save the day? I just don't get it. And then, like, Don Lemon, one of these CNN anchors, was talking about, I mean, the only time he's ever addressed these riots is because now that it's affecting the poll numbers and making the Democrats look bad, now and only now should they start doing something about it. Forget that they've been destroying people's livelihoods. They've been killing innocent people that had been trying to protest, peacefully protest, and they just happened to get in, you know, caught in the crossfires. It's insane.
Well, let's think about this for a second. Back when there was a Democrat primary going on, Bernie Sanders supporters said that if Bernie didn't get the nomination, cities would burn. You know, I see that a lot of those stories have now been changed to say that if Donald Trump wins the election, that cities will burn. But I guess what my point is that they, if they don't get their way, if they don't, in other words, if they don't get socialism, then they're just going to burn the cities down.
They're basically acting like spoiled brats. They're having temper tantrums. They're having dangerous, destructive temper tantrums. But basically, that's what it boils down to. If you don't give me my way, I'm going to make your life a living hell.
If we don't get socialism, in other words, if you don't give us everything, we're going to burn your cities down.
Because, you know, there's talk about a new civil war. Well, a civil war for what? What do they want? What's got to be between capitalism and socialism? We want a socialist country. We want to take down the capitalist country. We want everything handed to us. We want to be told what to do, how to think. We don't want an independent society where I work hard and I reap my rewards. I don't want to work hard. I want you to work hard for me. I want you to give me everything that I want. That's basically what a socialist society is all about. And I would like to think, I would hope and pray that there are enough people in this country that don't want to see that happen. So, and I kind of feel like that's the road we're going down if Biden gets elected.
Yeah, he's just the puppet candidate at this point. He's definitely a puppet. I mean, he's even said that he's not going to run for a second term. And, you know, there's really just speculation and questioning whether he's even competent to stand for one term. So in other words, we'll have Kamala in as president. And she's the one that's, you know, really promoting these left-wing uprisings or whatever that's going on.
That's a scary thought because she's a radical left. Her views are very radical. And that reminds me of an interesting article I read about this time period, kind of paralleling a time period in the past, as far as the social, not the social, but the political construct. Let me pull up that article real fast. This article was written by Ronald Yates from the Western Journal. It's called "In November, POTUS May Be Picked by House, Senate, and Supreme Court members, and it won't be first time." Okay, I have to read this because I think it's really interesting. All right, so this article, let me just kind of read it to you because I think it's really interesting. It's an interesting historical tidbit that neither Kevin nor myself knew anything about, and it's an interesting parallel to what is happening in today's climate. So the article goes, "Will 2020 be a reprise of the 1876 presidential election? What a question, you might ask. But let's look at what happened in 1876, and then you can make up your mind. The similarities between 1876 and 2020 are striking. In 1876, the Democrats controlled the House. The Republicans controlled the Senate. The nation was in political and economic crisis, still staggering from the disastrous panic of 1873. Ulysses S. Grant was the incumbent Republican president. But at the last minute, he decided not to run for a third term. Of course, the scenario is different today. Donald Trump is running for a second term, not a third term. Historical note. From George Washington until Harry Truman, presidents can serve as many terms as they could win. President Franklin D. Roosevelt won four consecutive terms between 1932 and 1944, and on February 27th of 1951, the 22nd Amendment was ratified, which established a two-term limit for presidents. So, with Grant out of the picture, the Republican who did run in 1876 was a dark horse candidate named Rutherford B. Hayes. His Democratic challenger in the intensely disputed election was New York Governor Samuel Tilden. Tilden was widely expected to win the general election against the little-known Hayes, who was a Civil War hero and Ohio governor. Now, here's where things get interesting. There are some political pundits today who say the 2020 election could play out in similar fashion to the 1876 election. Well, just how might that happen? Well, let's look back at the 1876 election. When election day came, neither candidate had a majority of electoral votes. Tilden had easily won the popular vote, but he needed one more electoral vote. However, in four states, each party claimed that their candidate had won the state, which obviously could not be true. If the Democratic reports of the election were accepted, Tilden would be the president. If the Republican reports were accepted, Hayes would be the president. The Constitution didn't account for this scenario. There was no provision for settling a dispute involving rival electors. An additional problem was that the vice president needed to certify the election, but Vice President Henry Wilson had died a year earlier, and there was no sitting vice president. A special electoral commission of senators, House members, and Supreme Court justices was appointed by Congress to settle the dispute and avert a constitutional crisis before March, when a new president was supposed to take office. The commission awarded all the electoral votes of the four disputed states to Hayes in an 8-7 vote. The Democrats allegedly agreed to the decision in exchange for the withdrawal of federal troops from South Carolina and Louisiana, marking the end of Reconstruction in the South in what is called the Compromise of 1877. That's quite a legacy for Hayes, who essentially slinked into the White House via a backroom deal. The second part of Hayes's legacy was the fallout from Reconstruction's end and the subsequent enactment of Jim Crow laws by Democrats that mandated racial segregation in the South and disenfranchised Black voters. Under terms of the deal, Hayes removed the last federal troops from the South, and the rest, as they say, is history. Rather than the Reconstruction of the South that ensured political and social equality for former slaves, the South entered a period of Jim Crow laws that didn't end until the Civil Rights Movement of the 1960s. Now, here's another similarity between 1876 and 2020. After his controversial election, Hayes promised not to run for re-election. Does that sound familiar? If Biden beats Trump, he has promised to be a one-term president. That is, if he lasts through his first term. I can hear Kamala Harris licking her political chops now. Hayes kept his promise to be a one-term president, and that helped restore the nation's faith in the office of the presidency. During his time in office, Hayes also attacked runaway patronage in the nation's corrupt civil service system and triggered the recovery of the American economy. Nevertheless, the results of the 1876 election remain among the most disputed ever. Today, with the controversy over the mass mailing of ballots to voters and the potential of voter fraud, you have to wonder what lies ahead after November 3rd. Will the 2020 presidential election come off without a hitch?
Well, I think that the mass mailing of ballots is going to be the big issue. And, you know, on November 4th, we're not going to know who's president. It's going to get stretched out.
I think that that's a huge concern. I mean, that scares me. I mean, we have the potential of not knowing who our president is for months, maybe even years, according to President Trump. He said that if some lawyers, work the case just right or whatever, that it could be years before we find out who the president is. I mean,
yeah, I just got a package today that in the mail that was 2 weeks late. So there you go.
And that's just normal mail. That's not even counting all the false ballots being sent out to people's pets and dead people and all that kind of stuff. So I read that article because I wanted to show the parallel in history that, and also I thought it was interesting that they had to come to a deal, that they had to come to an agreement before they would elect a president. And the other side got to, they got something they had asked for. You know what I mean? Which coincidentally was the Democrats, by the way, in slavery.
Right.
Unless you all didn't know that Democrats were big into slavery. But all of that to say that, I mean, it's just, it's a scary thing to think about you know, if after election, I mean, it's who knows what this is going to look like after the election? Who knows if we're even going to know who won after November 3rd? I mean, if it's anywhere close.
What year was that? Was it in 2004 when they had, you know, it was Bush against Gore.
Mm-hmm.
And they had all the recounts in Florida for weeks.
It was weeks.
They were like counting. People were looking at these paper ballots.
Right.
But finally, I think they called the Supreme Court decided. Finally,
I think the only way Trump's going to be our president is if it's an undisputable landslide.
Yeah, and it's going to be. Well, but this ballot thing, this mailing ballots, is going to be the hitch.
I hope it is, but I'm hesitant to say that because I don't want people to think, oh, we're going to win anyway. There's no need to go out and vote. Everybody needs to vote.
People, you need to vote.
You have to vote. This is very important because, I mean, do you want an America that we had before COVID, which was very prosperous and successful, or do you want an America that we see now with a bunch of riots and people burning things and killing people? Because the Democrats, that's what they want. They want chaos. I also thought it was interesting, too, on YouTube, there's a trend of videos going around with hashtag walk away, where a bunch of Democrats have left the party and have now turned to Republican Party because of all the stuff that has come out. I don't know that the Democrats fully understand that all the things that they're doing, their old tricks that they always try that typically go unnoticed or they're glossed over by the media, that... But they're only serving to showcase their agenda. And I think it's just making a lot of people mad. I think it's what's turning them against them.
Unfortunately, if they're just watching the traditional media, they're not going to hear about any of those things, you know?
I know. Yeah, the traditional media, again, have no interest in truth. They're only interested in their truth or my truth. Those two words should never be in the same sentence. It's never your truth. It's either the truth or it's not. You know, it's not. Because if it's my truth, then it's my interpretation of the truth. That's not the truth. That's my interpretation. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think people are forgetting that the truth is pretty black and white. I mean, it may take a while to get to the truth. You may have to look at all the context.
Yeah, I think we need to definitely go back to innocent until proven guilty. You know, because like right now, it seems like every one of these things that comes up in the news, you know, a shooting or whatever it is, you see a little snippet of a video, like a 5-minute or 8-minute video, but you don't see the events leading up to that. You don't see what happened after that. You don't hear the autopsy results that talk about, you know, the lethal amount of drugs in the person's system. You don't hear about the person's record. You know, that they're basically a criminal, and the police were there to, you know. The guy had warrants against him for arrests and all sorts of things like that. We're just hearing like little snippets here and there. And then everybody's going crazy over these little 3-minute videos.
Well, I don't know if it's so much we don't know about the truth. Because, I mean, the truth comes out eventually. It's just people don't pay attention or it's not...
Jumping to conclusions before right. They know all the facts right. And the truth.
And even when the facts come out, people ignore it. They're still so hell-bent on sticking to the original story. And it's like, but that story is not correct. That's not what happened. That's not the truth. It's just, I don't know. I don't understand why people are so, they lean toward the side of chaos and punishing the innocent and letting the guilty go free. I mean, where did this even start? That's such the norm nowadays. Like all of these sports organizations and these companies that come out with these, you know, why we support Black Lives Matter and, you know, we're going to protest and not play because of this Black Lives Matter incident. Well, with all due respect, people, I don't care. I don't care what you think. You're being paid to sell a product, and you're being paid to entertain me. I don't care what other things you think about. It's irrelevant to me. I don't care. But for some reason, they always feel compelled to make a stand.
They're essentially, they're going to destroy themselves by all this, you know, taking a knee and not playing because of protesting. And people generally, I think they go to sports to get away from all that stuff.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
If that's what they get when they tune into sports, then they're going to just turn that off.
Right. Just like these award shows for the actors and stuff, and they get up there and start making political statements. Like, what does this have to do with the picture that you won an award for? We don't care. You're an actor. You're paid to entertain me. I don't care what your personal thoughts are on this issue. This is not the venue for that conversation.
Yeah, it really spoils it for me, too, a lot of times. Like, I used to like Seinfeld a lot. I used to like to watch that show, but now I can't hardly stand to watch it after, you know, what Seinfeld says and what's the Elaine's name?
Oh, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah.
Yeah, she kind of made a fool of herself at the DNC convention too, but I don't know. It's just, but then again, I mean, you out there listening to us right now, what do you care what we think? I mean, this is our opinion and our thoughts. Where do we go wrong? Why is it a crime to have a differing opinion from you? Just because that is your opinion and your truth, if I don't agree with you, now I'm the bad guy? Why? Because I have my own opinion? I don't understand why.
Well, it's like the left, who always claims to be so tolerant of everything. They're completely intolerant of anybody's opinion that doesn't agree with what they think.
Right.
They're tolerant of you as long as you agree with them.
And it wouldn't be so bad if they weren't so effective at canceling people and getting people fired from their jobs because they have a different opinion.
They just have the loudest voices and the media behind them.
I wish that the silent majority would stop being so silent. I think it's time to stand up and say, enough is enough. You can call me all the names that you want. I don't care. This is what I'm going to do because it's the right thing to do. But I don't know. The right thing to do what, according to me? Again, we go back to truth. Is it my truth or is it the truth? I mean, are we going to take the time to find out what the truth is? You know what I mean? Anymore, nobody wants to take the time to find out what the truth is. They just want to jump to conclusions and just act like an animal. Because either they're bored, or you're stealing stuff to resell it so they can make a living. Or, I don't know, I guess on some level they think they're doing the right thing by being violent, which serves no purpose whatsoever.
What? I wonder what they think they are accomplishing by burning things down.
I really don't know. Are they just trying to get people's attention? Because here's the ironic part of that. If that's their goal, if that's why they're doing this, and the media is ignoring them, that's a little ironic, don't you think? If that's their goal, is to get people's attention to the cause, and yet the media is completely ignoring them?
Well, it's really just backfiring on them, because it's turning everyone away from what they're wanting. You know, they're wanting social justice, apparently.
Social justice for what? I mean, What is it that they perceive that they've
missed out on? I don't know. We've had a black president, we've had a black, you know, attorney general.
There are numerous programs out there specifically to help minority people succeed in life. They're given the same opportunities that other people are given, yet they choose not to take those opportunities, and it's somehow our fault. I just don't get that. I don't get that. So, I don't know. There's this guy, an African-American in North Carolina, that drove by a group of Trump supporters, which included children, and opened fire on that group of people. Thankfully, no one was injured, But have you heard anything about this? Has the media said anything at all about this? And why not? Those people's lives don't mean as much as Black people's lives. I mean, that's what the message is. Well,
there would have been Black people in the crowd, too.
Well, I mean, that's true. Think of all the people that are dying in Chicago. Where are the news stories about all these poor people and all this violence in Chicago? Why is the mayor of Chicago ignoring all that? Why are the governors of these states ignoring all of these riots? I just, Trump wants to help, but he cannot help because of the, did you say the Federalist Act?
Yeah, federalism.
Federalism,
He's the president of the United States. The states, states have their own governments, and they have to request federal support if they want the troops to come in.
So why aren't they requesting the support? It's like they want the riots. Again, why? What is the objective? Turning a blind eye to these riots and people getting killed. What is the objective behind that? I just don't get it. But it's very frustrating that the double standard in the media nowadays with this no attention is brought to this Black man that's shooting in a crowd of Trump supporters, and he's shooting because these people disagree with him.
Yeah, look at this comment. Not charged with attempted murder. Just like the guy up there in Wisconsin that was defending himself got charged with murder. This guy who fired on a big crowd of President Trump supporters didn't get charged with murder. Attempted murder or anything.
I mean, you can't even defend yourself nowadays without risking jail time. I mean, if I had someone running up to me with a gun, I'm going to defend myself.
I have to say, I'm having second thoughts about, getting my concealed carry permit.
Why?
Well, I mean, this guy in Wisconsin, he was just defending himself. I mean, right there you saw where people were coming at him with a gun, and another guy hit him over the head with a skateboard, and he shot that guy, and now he's being charged with murder. He was just defending himself.
Well, and I get that, but what's the alternative? You're going to die? I'd rather go to jail than die, or at least not even go to jail. I'd rather fight it out in the courts than die.
I guess the idea is if you've got a gun, you could just show it. And that might keep somebody from attacking you.
If you've gotten down to the point where it's your life or that other person's life, I'm going to defend myself and I will fight it out in a court of law later. At least I'll be alive to fight my fight. I don't know. I'm ready to go out and buy another handgun and take some gun lessons. And I think we should seriously consider it, because I just think that the state of the world, it's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse according to the Bible and everything like that. So I don't know. I think it would behoove us to at least be prepared for any eventuality. Hopefully, I pray nothing ever comes of it, but at least we would be prepared for anything like that would happen. So what is the conclusion to this? Let's wrap this up. I mean, I don't know that we understand what is happening, let alone can articulate some kind of ending or solution to this craziness.
Well, and in the Bible it says that this world is under the control of the evil one. So there you go.
Well, it's definitely under the control of the evil one.
explains, why.
And I don't know. Maybe there's nothing we can do other than just the best we can do and survive. At this point in time, it's only going to get worse. It's never going to get better, not until Christ comes back anyway. That's what we believe. We're Christians. You may believe differently, but that's what we believe. So, I don't know. It's sobering, and I don't mean to sound all preachy to everybody today, but it's a subject that I'm passionate about, because I'm coming at this from, I guess, a logical viewpoint, and I guess there's really nothing logical about this mess that we're seeing all over the country. I just think that it's just an excuse for people to act like animals, and there's no accountability right now. So they're going to just keep pushing the envelope and just get worse and worse, I guess.
Yeah. I just recommend don't let the fear get to you. Don't listen to the news media more than about 15 minutes per day.
And I like
that
to think,
can get to you after a while.
I like to think that most people are good. You know, you just have pockets of people that are just, you know, for whatever reason, are not thinking clearly and just running on pure emotion. So, and passion, and, you know, and I'm not saying these people are doing it to be mean or malicious. I'm sure there's quite a few people that are involved in the movement that honestly think they're doing the right thing. But I don't know how it could be the right thing to be destructive and to hurt your fellow citizen. I don't know how that's...
And burning down your own neighborhood.
Yeah, I just don't understand how that is helping your cause at all. But I don't know. Maybe I'm the one that's clueless.
Yeah. Yeah, people, don't burn your neighborhood down. And let's be considerate of others.
Yeah.
Use your blinkers when you make a left turn and, you know, when you're in your car and stuff like that.
Just treat others as you would want to be treated. All right. Well, we hope we gave you some food for thought. Look up some of this stuff. Don't listen to the media, the mainstream media. They don't have your best interest in heart, and they don't care about you. So just, you know, get all the facts before you make a judgment call. And with that said, I think we're going to wrap it up for this week.
We'll talk to you later.
All right, guys. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.